your taxes are due. So, yay birthday.
That's your present.
That's my present. Well, I have to at the least hope. I am now 33 years old today. I hope that my 33rd year is a little bit better than some other people's. I perhaps won't be nailed to two planks of wood.
You know, any day that doesn't end in a crucifixion is a good birthday.
I would say so. I don't know how birthdays are celebrated around the world, but I really hope that it doesn't involve impalement.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Perhaps, but, you know, I can always hope. I'll blow out candles. I don't want to, you know, be nailed to two pieces of wood. Hey, you are listening to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. My name is Mike Gillis, and joining me again in the studio, Becky Friedman.
Hi there, Mike. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And Kyle Hepworth.
What's up?
So, we are here on Tax Day, one of the most boring, albeit mandatory, holidays. I'll take it over Groundhog Day, certainly.
No, you get to have Groundhog Day over and over and over again, though. That's the best part.
Oh, yes. I can't promise that Tax Day will spawn a Bill Murray comedy. It doesn't have a lot of mileage in it for anything funny. But speaking of something that you do enjoy, our fans of our show have been clamoring for this for weeks, and they just want to know, where has Scripture Says What gone? Well, we took a little bit of a hiatus because it's kind of hard to research it every week, and then that hiatus became 2 weeks, and then 3 weeks, and four. And we decided we want to space it out a little bit more, that we don't need to have Scripture Says What every week, and then we actually want to rotate it with a lot of cool ideas for segments that we want to do throughout the week.
And by hard to research it every week, meaning hard for us to actually bear it and look at so many bad,
one of
bad
the perks of
scriptures.
Being an atheist is you don't have to read all the holy books. So really, this is just self-torture.
So, but this week we have answered your prayers and actually gone back to those holy books, and we're going to give you another Scripture Says What?
What?
That's where we look at the scary, funny, and just plain weird stuff out of our holy books. And Becky, what have we got this week?
This week, we have something from 1 Kings chapter 20, verses 35 through 36. I think this is the New Living Translation, NLT. Is that what NLT stands for?
I believe so.
All right. Yeah. And it goes something like this. Meanwhile, the Lord instructed one of the group of prophets to say to another man,
"Strike me."
But the man refused to strike the prophet. Then the prophet told him,
"Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, a lion will kill you as soon as you leave me."
And sure enough, when he had gone, a lion attacked and killed him.
Well, I guess he did predict the future. But what I love about this piece of scripture is that it's kind of a catch-22 for this guy. Let's just say he struck the prophet. And he's like, "Oh, come at me, bro!" And he hauls off and punches this guy in the jaw. Is he still going to send the lion after him?
Probably, yeah.
I think so.
Your choices are hit the guy or don't follow the word and get attacked by a lion?
This reminds me a little bit of the scene from the movie Shane, where Jack Palance, who plays sort of the evil gunfighter, throws a gun at the feet of the sheepherder and says, "Pick up the gun." And the guy just like, "Oh, mister, I don't want no trouble." And eventually, the man, okay, picks up the gun. Jack Palance shoots him dead. "Well, you all some. He had a gun."
So is it, in this case, he had a lion?
I guess so. Well, he certainly had a lion at the end. Or rather, the lion had him.
Oh, I guess so.
Come back, Shane.
I don't know. It reminds me a little bit of the Houdini episode, you know, Houdini incident that led to his demise, his death. I mean, you ask someone to punch you in the stomach, and they punch you, and, you know, you end up dying a little bit later. But I don't know. Maybe... Maybe Houdini's attacker should have been killed by a lion. Maybe that's what
if he was a religious man, then perhaps.
Yes, maybe that's what our Bible tells us.
I can't find the moral of this story at all.
So I don't think there is one. I think that just that God is a troll and that he giggles at hurting people. That seems to be much of the Old Testament and a little bit of the New. So if you know a piece of scripture, and don't limit yourself to just the Bible, we also want to see the Quran, Bhagavad Gita, maybe something from Scientology, give us an email. Drop it at askanatheist.tv, our website. Click the big red candy-like shiny button at the top of the screen and send us our way. Make sure you include the chapter and verse.
Excellent.
So, let's get into something else that's been a little bit fun this week. Our good friend Kirk Cameron of Growing Pains fame.
Mike.
Yeah, he's a former child star who I guess is somebody that you bring on to talk about science education on CNN every so often. Well, he was on Piers Morgan tonight to talk a bit about how he felt about the gays. And suffice to say, if you've been paying attention, he doesn't care for them much.
I think that he cares for them because they are sinners. Oh. He loves them.
Love the sinner, hate the sin.
He just does not care for their sin.
Yeah, he loves them so much that he wants to tell them in a very calm and even-toned voice that they're all going to burn for hell forever in a lake of fire.
I think it was also that that they degrade society or something like that.
And that they risk the destruction of all of civilization.
Really?
Which is quite a charge.
Wow. I didn't actually hear the charges brought on by Kirk. I only heard the reaction.
Not even Godzilla gets accused of that. I mean, he they're just going to say he's going to destroy Tokyo. They don't say anything about all of civilization. But apparently the gays have outdone Godzilla and any of the large Japanese monsters in their ability to, apparently by two boys holding hands, destroy all of civilization itself.
In the eyes of Kirk Cameron.
Well, in the eyes of Kirk Cameron, through the eyes of Ray Comfort, his weird Cosby sweatered porn mustached guru, who I guess has post his, I guess you could say the post fame Kirk Cameron has been, I guess, the Yoda to his Luke Skywalker.
Perhaps, yeah.
But
are you comparing either Kirk Cameron or Ray Comfort to Star Wars generated or Star Wars characters, Lucas inspired characters at all?
Oh, I imagine that probably in a swamp somewhere, Ray Comfort had Kirk Cameron doing headstands.
While he clinged to his back.
Cling to his back while he's repeating things of the Bible about, crocodile, something can't come from nothing. And I imagine that's exactly how the training went.
So what happened to this Kirk Cameron guy after he said all this stuff?
Well, you see, Kirk Cameron was in a line of work called child actor. And he's not alone in that. There is a lot of child actors, a lot of sitcom child actors, and they've actually put together a video on funnierdie.com that I'd highly recommend called Children Celebrities Opposing Kirk Cameron, CCOCK. And you can probably sound that out and get the joke right away.
CCOKC.
Yes, CCOKC.
Which we've been asked to clarify is not the Computer Club of Oklahoma City.
Though I will wait from a statement from the Computer Club of Oklahoma City. And they can make a statement if they stand by the statements of the CCOKC, the other one anyways. And I'm sure they'd be happy to tell Kirk Cameron that Tony and Craig getting married, holding hands, and walking down the street and kissing has nothing to do with society crumbling around you.
Or really nothing to do with society at all.
Yeah. See, this is the beautiful thing, folks. If there's a gay couple living next to you, and they kiss, and they watch TV together, and they jointly file their tax return, if you don't know they're there, then you won't know that they're there. Because it doesn't affect your life at all.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Kirk Cameron seems pretty torn up about it. It certainly affects his life some way.
Yeah,
right?
It affects his life in that he's making a lot of money by speaking out against the civil rights of other people.
I think the ingenious thing about the video of child celebrities opposing Kirk Cameron was that they said, hey, you know what? We all worked in show business. We knew gay people. So did you. We know gay people now. So do you.
And guess what? They haven't destroyed society. And this is the beautiful thing with culture wars.
And let alone destroying, you know, we can argue about destroying society. I think that they kind of helped build his career.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Really? There are gay people in the entertainment industry?
The thing I like about this whole thing with Kirk Cameron recently is how many people who, I've always been kind of a non-fan of Kirk Cameron ever since I made my way into the atheist movement. You know, he's been a kind of villain of the atheist movement for a while. But now I'm seeing people who are Christian, people who just don't care at all, sharing this video saying, look at this Kirk Cameron guy. Can you believe this guy? What a jerk.
It's nice because for the longest time, him and Ray Comfort, they do these videos and a lot of them aim themselves directly at the atheist community, largely because I think we're the only people who notice them and respond to him. So we're giving him his drug, which is, of course, attention.
Absolutely.
But this is, I think, the real beauty of the culture war, which is that we win not by passing any pieces of legislation, though those certainly help. Things like getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that is a step forward. However, it's not that those things that change people's minds. It's the fact that all you need to know is one single gay person.
Mm-hmm.
One, you know, like a coworker or a relative or a friend. And that has a bigger effect on breaking down somebody's personal bigotry than anything.
You know, I want to go ahead and make the connection to atheism. You know, one atheist, you talk with one atheist, I think the same thing happens. You hear a lot of things about atheists in the news that just aren't true. You know what I mean?
And largely from the same people.
Yep.
People like Kirk Cameron. So it's a beautiful thing to see not just atheists speaking out against this guy when he lies about science, when he lies about civil rights for minority groups like gays or atheists. But it's a beautiful thing to see everyone come together, hold hands, and burn an effigy of this washed-out, talentless hack of a former TV star.
I don't know about the burning things.
I said an effigy. Just like a doll dressed like him. It doesn't. I'm not advocating violence. I don't want anyone to hurt him. I just want, more than anything, us to all look at him as a joke. Because
I think that's long gone. I mean, come on. He was a joke whenever he was popular.
That's the weird thing with him, is he's playing this game now, and he has for quite some time now, that the fact that he's not in the spotlight except when they need somebody to argue against a evolutionary biologist on CNN about evolution, they have to, like, oh, now from the idiot side of this argument. Aside from that, he only appears in movies that are explicitly Christian, starring only Christians, for a Christian audience. And he seems to think that he's somehow being persecuted, that nobody wants to see these movies, that nobody is funding these movies. And if you watch something like we have with something like the Left Behind movie, which is like subpar television acting, when you get you guarantee that everyone in your movie has to be a believing Christian, you get exactly the sort of acting that you pay for. It's I would much rather, in a movie, just as a viewer, take my personal ideology out of this completely, I would much rather have a movie with actors pretending to be Christians than Christians pretending to be actors.
Ouch.
Very nice, very nice. Now, Mike, there was something that you said about, about we get what we pay for if you demand that all of your actors be Christian. And to be fair, you know, whether you're a believer or a non-believer may or may not have any bearing on your ability as an actor altogether. But, I mean...
But he's hiring them for their ideological purity. Right. He's not hiring them because of their
politics
acting
first,
ability.
Acting ability second.
Because the it's not the audition where they actually read lines and show that they can do the part and that they can find an emotional core to this character. That's not what gets them the job. It's the part where they go, oh, I don't believe in evolution either, and I guess the world is 6,000 years old.
Are these all Gomer Pyle? I love that impression.
You're hired! That's how those interviews go, and that's what those movies are written for. And I remember I was mentioning this to Rich about the Left Behind movie, which the Seattle Atheist did a showing of.
That was fun.
Like 6 months. That was a fun movie. Not only did there no special effects in this movie whatsoever, but that the everyone in this movie is a Christian, and it's just so poorly made. I mean, this movie screams cheap. Yet, I'm just have to say, why is it that way? And Rich says to me, it doesn't matter. They're getting exactly what they want. Christians don't care if it's good or not.
Right.
So anyways, you are listening to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We are a call-in show. If you'd like to talk to us, please do give us a call, and we would love to hear from you.
Yeah, give us a call. You want to talk about Kirk Cameron? You want to talk about lions eating people? We got no problem with that.
Lions eating Kirk Cameron?
I didn't say it.
I did say it, but we should probably jump to a quick break. You can listen to some of our great commercials, and we'll join you in another 2 minutes with Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We'll be back with you in just a couple minutes.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Atheism TV. News, events, community, entertainment, debates, conferences, and more. A massive repository of over 3,000 recent and fascinating atheist videos from all over the internet. Or watch The Infidel, our own regular news show. Visit the shopping area and buy something for that special atheist in your life. Rent captivating shows, movies, and documentaries directly in your browser. Atheism TV, the world's number one source of atheist videos.
Looking to sell or buy a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, and surrounding areas? Plant your roots and invest in this entrepreneur-friendly area with world-class education and healthcare. Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 and let him work with you to achieve your goals, save your time, and protect your investment. Contact Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at dndrealty.ca. It's time you hired a professional.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
And we are back. This is Ask an Atheist. 253-584-1480. We have a couple calls on the line. Let's jump to Caleb from Portland, Oregon. You are on line one. Caleb, how are you doing today?
Couldn't be better. You guys were absolutely terrific at the Northwest Conference 3 weeks ago.
Oh, hey, is this the same Caleb who helped us set up? Hey.
Yeah, you guys were just, it was fun. I mean, the audience loved it. You went from topic to topic with incredible energy. You guys were absolutely unflappable. It was real, real delightful to be in the same room as you answer those questions.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Caleb. I do appreciate it.
You know, you also had a couple real true believers there. Remember that guy from Corvallis who has an atheist blog in the paper there that, an editorial thing? I just think that's neat. Sam said, hey, give a jingle in and send him copies of it. But, you know, you guys are spreading seeds out there. So, and I made a contribution, you know. I followed the admonition on your website, the podcast previously, the show previously. So, terrific job, you guys.
Hey, thank you, Caleb. Thank you for calling in. We're always good to hear from people. All right.
Take care of that.
All right, thank you. So, if you're kind of curious what Caleb is talking about, it's this little thing that we've had called Peggy's Challenge. Now, Peggy was somebody who gave us a call from Kent, Washington, about a month and a half ago, and she called on viewers to support us financially because we're not yet at the point where we can support ourselves completely through advertising. We have a lot of great, loyal advertising partners who've stuck with us from the very beginning, but we're not yet at the point, so occasionally you have to come on and beg you for cash. So, we do want to thank a couple people. We want to thank Scott from St. Louis, Missouri, who gave us enough of a donation this past week that it paid for a show and a half. So if this is a show that you like, if this is a show that you value, I guess that's what they say on NPR during Pledge Week, please give us a contribution. Go to askanatheist.tv, click the yellow, slightly less candy-like button on the left side of the screen.
I like yellow candy.
I like yellow candy, too. Perhaps not candy corn.
Okay. Lemon Starburst.
Lemon Starburst. Let's just say it's a Lemon Starburst button. Click that. And give until, as they say, it feels right. We also want to thank some of the folks that have joined us as new advertising partners. We want to thank Madrona Home Services, who is going to be buying some ads with us, and our good friend Don Summers in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, is going to be buying some ads with us for the Professional Realty Group. Don, thank you so much. Kathleen, thank you so much for this work. And if you're somebody, you want to help us out, you love our show, you like what we do, consider advertising with us. If you got a small business, you got an organization, you got anything, it doesn't have to be in Washington. It can be anywhere in the country or even out of the country. We got listeners everywhere. So please give us drop us an email, advertising@askanatheist.tv, and we can hook up with you. So we have another phone call. We have Charles from Tuscola, Illinois. Did I pronounce that right, Charles?
Yes, you did. And I've called before.
Oh, what do you got for us today?
Have you heard anything about the Reason Rally in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, we talked about it a little bit a couple weeks ago. I guess there were about 20, 25,000 people came out, even in the rain. That was pretty impressive stuff.
One of the things that I have noted is that a lot of people have commented that even though we had some big-name people there, like Richard Dawkins and Jessica Alquist, I believe her name was.
That's correct.
And so forth. One of the things they noted is that a significant proportion, an overwhelming proportion, of the people that attended it were actually young.
That's been something I've heard. Not only that, a good gender balance, too, that there's this stereotype that we get as being this like older white group, but we were well represented across the spectrum, and it was a good representation of what the United States looked like, and said that atheists is not just this tiny little group of people. It's we look like your neighbors in every part of the country.
Not the the liberal white elite of academia, as it's been portrayed a lot. And the latest polls, if you ask the question rightly, how important is religion in your life for making decisions, especially morally questionable ones, is not at all, for about over 30%.
About 30%. Yep. Is that the 30 under 30 that people are talking about there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And approximately 30% answered the question on, is religion an important part of your life, a dominant part of your life? And approximately 30%, like something like 28.7 or something, said no.
Absolutely. That's a number that's going up. Charles, I want to thank you for your call. And we're going to jump right into the news. What have we got coming out of Tennessee here, Becky?
Well, Tennessee has recently passed a law that boosts creationism and climate denial, boosts the coverage for teachers who want to bring up those kinds of things, creationism and climate change denial, in the science classroom as an alternative viewpoint in order to be explored. Let me go ahead and read what comes to us from the Chicago Tribune. It's originally from Reuters. It's a new Tennessee law that protects teachers who explore, quote, the scientific strengths and scientific weaknesses of evolution and climate change. The story goes on to say that it's a move that science education advocates say could make it easier for creationism and global warming denial to enter U.S. classrooms. The measure was made, the measure made Tennessee the second state after Louisiana to enable teachers to more easily teach alternative theories to the widely accepted scientific concepts of evolution and human-caused climate change. At least five other states considered similar legislation this year. Now, of course, in this reporting, the theories, alternative theories, mean theories in the colloquial sense of notions or ideas or opinions or hypotheses even, but not in the scientific the definition of scientific theory, correct?
Yeah. The whole scientific strengths and scientific weaknesses thing rings like code to me, because I've heard many people say that a lot, and it sounds like the old creationist compliment sandwich kind of idea, where you want to say something bad about something, but but instead you mask it with a nice thing, like it has strengths and weaknesses, but I really want to focus on the weaknesses here.
Yeah, really. And this is the problem, is that there are gaps in every scientific theory that there is. But you know what evolutionary biology has, that these alternative, I'm not even going to call them a hypothesis because they're not even testable. Let's just say these alternative notions or ideas or beliefs. These alternative beliefs don't, they're not testable. But they don't have any evidence for them. And this is a nice idea that these guys throw out a lot, which is that this is not an either-or. You can't just by... Let's just say you came up with a brilliant thing that just completely demolished evolutionary biology.
Right.
That proved that evolution by natural selection did not occur, and that's not how the universe happened.
Then we have to adopt creationism, right? Isn't that how it works?
And no. That's the problem, is that...
I think the idea is that you wait for another credible set of hypotheses to then be... To have evidence that suggests that they're true. You collect all that evidence and you come up with an additional theory, or you refine your theory.
Nope, only two ways.
So if you're like Kirk Cameron or Kent Hovind, famous people that throw this sort of stuff around, you could win a Nobel Prize. Just prove your claims. Get it through a scientific journal and rock the scientific world with all this evidence that you claim you had. Because if the evidence is undeniable, then you will win that Nobel Prize. The problem is that they think that simply by disproving an alternative, that the magical supernatural explanation is therefore true. Let's just say this. I don't know, for instance, how an internal combustion engine works. I really don't know. I've never bothered to learn it. However, that doesn't mean if somebody comes up to me and says that there's fairies and leprechauns that live inside the engine and they're running on a little treadmill and that's what makes my car work, that doesn't suddenly become more credible because they have stumped me on the how does the engine work question. Just because you don't know something doesn't make magic likely or true or even a serious answer to throw on the table. You have to provide positive evidence for your claims, not just point out that other people, oh, I stumped you there, therefore, talking snake in a tree, that's how it all started. Well, that's not how it works.
And the other thing, Mike, is that once I actually do open up your car engine and show you that there's no fairies or little goblins in there making things work, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden, oh, they must be invisible.
Yeah, they are. They're invisible. That's what I was going to suggest. That would be the next thing.
There's always an excuse for why it's not there.
So there's a quote from the law, and it goes like this. The heart of the law is protection for teachers who, quote, help students understand, I like that, analyze, I like that too, critique, I think that's good that we should help students understand, absolutely, analyze, critique, and review in an objective manner the scientific strengths and scientific weaknesses of existing scientific theories covered in the course being taught. And really, that's where those code words come in, Kyle, right, that you were talking about.
I mean, like, on the face, that sounds fantastic. But whenever you talk about these scientific weaknesses, like, it is someone saying, like, this isn't good enough. This has problems because it's not explicitly Christian, honestly.
Well, and the fact is that being able to analyze the scientific weaknesses of a particular experiment is something that's absolutely part of the scientific method. Analyze, mm-hmm, hey, are these results valid? Are they credible? Are they reliable? Can we repeat them? Can we see them over and over again? If you and your lab partners do a little experiment, do we get similar results to all the other 24 lab partners throughout all our, you know, all our sections of biology? That's what we mean by analyze, critique, review in an objective manner. Right?
Right.
That's exactly what it is. And the problem is that I don't see anybody doing this in a serious way with the Bible, because what they're talking about is, oh, well, you can't explain where life come from, or you don't know this much of it. You can answer this question about evolution. Therefore, everybody is living in sin because a woman ate a piece of fruit in a garden, then she was tempted by a talking snake, and this magic man who had powers died for your sins. So clearly, that's the alternative. And the sad thing is that sounds ridiculous and that sounds like an insult, but that's essentially what these guys are doing. And if there's one wonderful thing that came out of the Dover case that killed the intelligent design movement in this country, it's that they're not even pretending anymore. Mm-hmm. They are outright advocating creationism that was thrown out by the Supreme Court in a public school science class.
Well, and I'm not sure that really killed creationism in the science classrooms. Intelligent design, which is really just code for creationism, as right. If you watch the Nova special on the Dover case, it will become quite clear that intelligent design is merely a substitute word for...
It's a good special. I recommend it.
Yeah. Something that came across a little bit later on this issue that's really quite disturbing to me as an educator is that Josh Rosenau of the National Center for Science Education cited a survey of U.S. high school biology teachers that was published in the journal Science in 2011 that found that 13% of those surveyed explicitly advocated creationism or intelligent design by spending at least 1 hour of class time presenting it in a positive light. That means these are science educators. 13% of science educators are either saying, you know, yes, this is true, or advocating it as something that's positive in terms of science.
These are science educators educating children in a public school and telling them that religious mythology is fact.
Now, the 13% of those surveyed, and they explicitly advocate creationism, that part surprisingly, it doesn't bother me as much as the next part, because I believe that if you have a firm science background and someone is telling you something, you can actually go like, you know, that's not true. But the next part that says only about 28% consistently follow the national research recommendations for introducing evidence that evolution occurred, that means only 30% of people are even talking about evolution at all.
As saying that this is evidence that evolution actually occurred. So that's only about a third of teachers that are saying, or less than a third of teachers that are saying, evolution occurred, and here's the evidence of why we know that it occurred, and why we know that it occurs.
Right, but so if you don't have that backing there, then that 13% is going to sink in, because they're the only people who are actually talking about it. So, I mean, this is how the other side wins, right? This is how creationists win whenever they make it scary to talk about evolution, because legally you're not sure what's going to happen. You're not sure if parents are going to like storm the classroom and say like, this is bad.
And this isn't even just in the Bible Belt. We're seeing this in a lot of states, even in New England, states on the West Coast, where teachers are so afraid to even touch the topic of evolution because they don't know if there's going to be an angry mob of Christians coming to the school board screaming about how their teacher is telling them, their children, that they came from monkeys.
You know? It doesn't even need to be an angry mob. It can be one very, very vocal father or mother or pastor or voter. And it doesn't need to be an angry mob. It can be one very angry, vocal person.
And there are a lot of people, whether it's the Alliance Defense League or a talk radio host or somebody like the 700 Club.
Talk radio hosts?
Well, the bad talk radio hosts.
Not us. We're fantastic.
We're awesome. So, again, you are listening to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. You want to scream at us? Give us a call, and we'd be happy to take your call. But I think before we head into the break, let's talk really quick about our next story. This one actually comes from India. Sonalanda Maruku, who is the president of Rationalist International, is in a bit of legal trouble right now. And if you don't know who this is, Sonal was the head of he's like the Indian James Randi. I think that's the best way to put it. He's a debunker. He goes out, he engages gurus and other types who involve themselves in making these supernatural claims, puts them to the test, and obviously has found most of them wanting so far. So he was actually invited by a television station. I believe it was, I forget what it was, but a Mumbai television station invited him to investigate a statue at a Catholic church that they had told us was miraculous.
Little droplets of water trickling from Jesus's feet.
Yeah, and he looked at this, and after a quick investigation found that, hey, Jesus has got a leaky pipe behind him, and that's what's causing the water to drip.
And what was the scientific mechanism or the physical science mechanism of how the water was dripping off Jesus's feet?
Well, condensation?
Capillary action, I think.
That magic science term, capillary action.
So, yeah, it's one of these things where he was brought in to investigate something. These people were getting really excited, not because they had proof of something, but because they really, really, really wanted to believe something. And this guy came in and burst their bubbles with some facts. And the Catholic Church has since demanded an apology from him. He has refused, and now they are seeking legal action under India's blasphemy laws, saying that he has hurt their religious feelings. And in Mumbai, the police department has said they are seeking his arrest now.
Actually, an update.
That's where I stop laughing and start getting serious.
And
yeah.
and to update that, he has been an issue on April 10th. He did receive a phone call from the police official directing him to come to the police station to face charges of arrest.
For saying the truth. Like, he found something. He looked at it. It's the truth. That's ridiculous.
What really stumps me on this one is that in the constitution of the state of India, right, of the country of India, one of the very the very first things that is, it's we the people of India, having solemnly resolved to constitute India into a sovereign, socialist, secular, democratic republic, and to secure all its citizens. The very second thing that's listed is liberty of thought, expression, belief, faith, and worship. Now, the folks at the Catholic Church are perfectly welcome to worship Jesus and believe that there's miraculous water and have faith in that, and express that faith through prayer, through anything they want. But likewise is Adam Maruku at liberty to express his beliefs, thoughts, and knowledge at the real, you know, reason behind this dripping water.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a part that really, really makes me angry, is that they're essentially telling this man that facts are illegal, that he has no right to point out that this thing, which they can use for tourism, they can use for money, they can use to reap in all of these donations from desperate believing people who are looking for something to believe in, to hope in, and he's just pointing out that, no, in this case, it's not true. And they're trying to have him thrown in jail. You have the right to your beliefs. You have the right to believe whatever you want. You don't have the right to decide other people's beliefs or demand their silence.
Yeah. Or contravene fact based on your own sensitivities. You just can't do that. You can't stifle fact. You can't stifle truth based on whether you like it or not. Hey, Mike, you're bald.
Oh, that's not true. You should be arrested.
That's essentially what's going on here. The very last thing about the Indian Constitution that really gets my goat here is that Article 51A, the fundamental duties of every citizen, it shall be the duty of every citizen of India. 51A is the fundamental duties. The duty labeled H is to develop the scientific temper, humanism, and the spirit of inquiry and reform. It is your duty, Mr. Sanal Adamaruku, and it is your duty, Catholic parish and representatives therein, to develop the scientific temper, the humanism, and the spirit of inquiry and reform.
Yeah, and here's an idea. If you don't like people criticizing your ideas and tearing them apart because they're based on nothing, get better ideas. That's how it goes. You are listening to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back to some of your emails.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
And how do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Looking to sell or buy a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, and surrounding areas? Plant your roots and invest in this entrepreneur-friendly area with world-class education and healthcare. Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 and let him work with you to achieve your goals, save your time, and protect your investment. Contact Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at dndrealty.ca. It's time you hired a professional.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
We are back. You are listening to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. I'm Mike Gillis, and joining me again in the studio, Becky Friedman.
Hey, Mike.
And Kyle Hepworth.
What?
So we're going to dive right into the mailbag and see what you folks have been sending us over the last couple weeks while we've been giving you great pre-recorded content. So, Becky, what is the first email today?
We have one from Sean. He's a Kiwi living in Ireland. And Sean writes, I'm 14 and I and my father are atheists, but unfortunately my mother is religious. She gets aggressive whenever me and my father talk about religion from an atheist viewpoint or whenever we make jokes about religion. She's the kind of person that swallows Deepak Chopra's books whole and is ready to get into fisticuffs with anyone who disagrees with her beliefs. I don't want to compromise my beliefs to give my mother a sense of comfort, but I'm wondering if you think I should bother to convert my fact-ignoring parent, or just grit my teeth and bear the BS.
All right, Sean, that sounds a little bit like my family dynamic. I mean, a little turned down a little bit more. I'm an atheist. My father is sympathetic, we'll say that, and my mom is certainly the most Christian of our family, still a very liberal Christian. But I find that you just kind of got to... Well, I do. I just kind of like let her do her own thing every once in a while, just because I think that she derives a lot of strength from her religion, and she derives a lot of belief from her religion. It really informs a lot of her choices, and she's not using it for evil. I know Mike definitely disagrees with me, and we're going to get into it on this a little bit, but I'm not really presenting my case really well right now, so I'll rebut Mike's case.
You've reached kind of a detente with your mother.
Right. Like I talk to her about a few things, and she grins and bears it, and she talks to me about a few things, and I grin and bear it, and we just kind of grin and bear it back and forth, and we're not going to change each other's minds, and I'm not set out to it, because she really likes her religion, and, you know, I like that she likes it.
See, that's not something I disagree with at all. I'm not somebody who does think that you should push out to try to convert religious relatives, because I know how annoying it would be if they tried to reach out and convert me. And I think that there's, with some people, Sean, I would say... there's nothing you can do that to avoid offending some people, that some people just kind of have a hair trigger, and that also at the same time, compromise is a two-way street, that they have to learn to sort of overcome the differences they have with you just as you do with them, and maybe perhaps it's just something you agree to not talk about. But I would say at the same time that if your mother is somebody that is constantly picking fights over it, then play back, throw something back at her, but let her know that, you know, if you have to sort of listen to stuff that she disagrees, that you disagree with from her, she's going to have to do the sort of same thing. And that if you folks really love each other, you're going to find a way to make it work, whatever your differences are. And I think that while I was fortunate to not have a very religious family, I wouldn't say that everyone in my family is religious. I think that find a way to make it work. I've had friends that were very religious, and after a while, you just realize that you're not their friend because of this difference or in spite of this difference. You're usually friends for different reasons, and just focus on those things that you have in common. And if it becomes so much of a sore spot between the two of you that you can't get move past it, then maybe you just have to put things on hold for a while and come back to it later when you calm down, or maybe you just aren't bait to be friends. But when the face of relatives, though, you don't get a choice of who your relatives are.
You don't. Yeah, that's I give relatives just a little bit more leeway. You know, if you want to take a stand and say, like, you're either my friend or you're not, and I'm saying this right here, you know, your relatives are always going to be relatives. So I give them just a little bit more leeway, I think.
So, yeah, let's get into the next one. Looks like we have another one. David from the Netherlands. David says, "Dear atheist, my name is David, and I consider myself an agnostic Buddhist kind of person, and I think the thoughts of atheists make so much sense. My father is also a Buddhist, and he told me this story. When he was young and lived in the Vietnam War, he was playing with a bomb grenade thing that he found on the street.
Yikes.
He was still little, so he was playing with it while praying to Buddha. He considers him as some god sometimes, that nothing would happen to him. So he's praying that when he's playing with his bomb, that nothing would happen to him. The bomb exploded, and unbelievably, he didn't die. He only got injured on the side of the head, while the doctors say he should have gotten his face blown off with that kind of explosion. I myself believe that it just has to do with the grenade itself and that it didn't explode hard. What do you think, as an atheist, about this incident? I'm very curious for your opinion on this."
Sorry.
I think that, you know, David, your father was very lucky. I think that, you know, there's all kinds of different, you know, explosive devices that explode in all different ways. I mean, if he's found it on the ground, it was probably dropped or released at some point and hadn't exploded, had malfunctioned for some reason prior to this. And so the fact that it did, you know, that it did detonate, but not in a manner that, you know, would
be fatal.
Yeah, be fatal or blow his face off, as you wrote, you know, that doesn't seem too surprising to me.
Right.
Now, it seems like your father probably tells this story that his praying to the Buddha probably protected him somewhat from this. Something that comes to my attention, though, is that he was praying to Buddha that nothing would happen to him. Well, clearly something did happen to him. He did injure the side of his head. He was injured to some degree.
Yeah, this is something I remember the Pope made a similar argument about. There was an assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II decades ago, and he was shot, but the bullet missed his heart by just a sliver. And later he made a statement that that God saved him by moving the bullet just that sliver. And I remember Richard Dawkins saying something to the degree of, well, if God was going to move the bullet, why couldn't he just make it miss him altogether? And that's what I sort of get in this, which is that...
It's a very fast bullet. I mean, God's not that powerful. Very fast.
He just kind of taps it to the side. He's like, oh, just a little bit more. This isn't a proof of anything supernatural, David. I would say that... Look at it this way. Let's just say that your dad, while playing with this, was thinking over... about how great the beliefs of David Icke were while he was playing with his bomb, and then he had the same thing happen. It blew up but didn't kill him. Is this proof that shape-shifting lizards control the world?
I always got to work in the shape-shifting lizards.
There are plenty of really devout religious people who are praying when they pick up devices in the middle of war-torn countries all the time, and not all of them are as fortunate as your dad. Clearly, because you seem to think this is a pretty amazing thing, and it is. Your dad was incredibly fortunate, but that isn't proof of anything supernatural, because there are plenty of people who do the exact same thing, and we don't hear about them because they died.
One thing that I want to comment on for David is that, you know, David, you consider yourself somewhat of agnostic Buddhist type of person, and it seems like that you have maintained a really nice tie to your ethnic heritage or to that of your father, and that can be sort of a neat thing for Sean from our last emailer to look at. Say, how do you sort of maintain this? How do you maintain ties to your ethnic heritage while still say, hey, you know what? I think that really it's reasonable to be agnostic about this. I don't know and I can't know whether there is a Buddha who's intervening in some supernatural way, but likely, you know, just kind of agnostic atheist. But it's kind of neat. And, you know, our last emailer, Sean, may think of that.
Yeah, don't worry about this divide that I think a lot of people build up, this big wall between agnostic and atheist, because they're really two different things. I'm an agnostic atheist. I don't have any evidence or reason to believe that a God exists. I don't have any proof that there isn't or there is, but in the absence of evidence, I'm going to go with non-belief. All so right. We do have a phone call. Steve from Kent, what have you got from us today, Steve?
Oh, hey, hi, Mike. How are all you guys doing? Thanks for answering my call.
Doing great. What have you got for us, Steve?
There was the caller from the Netherlands, whose father was Buddhist, who played with the mind, and it's interesting because, like, a regular landmine that might be an anti-tank mine or something like that, if they're playing around with something like that, and I'm going off my 14 years military experience with the U.S. Army, that would have completely disintegrated them. If they were in close proximity to that, but like if they were playing with an anti-personnel mine, which is something that many countries lay down in mass amounts in really broad paths that actually look like toys for people to play with, those actually are meant to maim or maybe dismember personnel and cause more casualties. So you know that kind of sort of thing happens, but. He is lucky that he only got minor wounds from it. It could have blown off his hand, it could have blown off his leg. But again, such ordinances are meant for that capacity to maim or dismember somebody or cause a casualty rather than kill. So I thought it was interesting that he saw that from a Buddhist standpoint and said, oh, well, you know what, divine intervention stood in some kind of a place rather than, oh, he could have been killed. He could have been killed, absolutely. He could have been dismembered or he could have had a limb gone or something like that and maimed for life.
So it sounds like the doctors were thinking, well, this should have, you know, certainly killed you, but, you know, we're hearing now from someone with military experience that sometimes doctors are not familiar with exactly what kind of explosive device it may have been. So it could be very likely.
If a kid comes to me and he's been playing with a mine and he hasn't died and I'm a doctor, I'm going to tell him that this kind of thing should have killed him. So he won't do it again. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. But they,
exactly. That was my take out of it. And I was like, oh, you know, being Buddhist or whatever kind of theology that you have behind it, it's still, this device was meant to do a certain specific thing. And fortunately for his father, it didn't do something that was very irreparably damaging, and just hurt him a little bit, it could have definitely hurt him much more and possibly killed him.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve, for your call. Yeah, I think this is one of those things. I'm going to probably fall on the prediction that Becky made, that this was something that had been used. This is the Vietnam War, after all, so there were battles everywhere, and I'm guessing that there was some kind of a fight there. A grenade was thrown. For whatever reason, it didn't detonate and was left there undetonated, so it was probably something that was already faulty. And, you know, thank goodness, because his father could have gotten killed, and thankfully it was something that just injured him just a little bit. We have another one coming in from us, Kyle from the internet.
Oh, different Kyle.
Different
Kyle. So Kyle from the internet says, okay, so I'm not religious, and I want to stay out of religion and live my life and not care about what happens when I die. Is this atheism?
Not exactly.
I'm going to go unequivocally yes.
I will actually disagree on there. Atheism is just about one question, and that's whether you think that there are gods or not. Not just the Christian, Jewish, Muslim god, but any gods, including Zeus, Sardas, Cthulhu, name it.
So, Kyle, why do you think yes?
I think if you're not interested enough to even ask yourself the question, are there gods, then you're an atheist. He's not living his life like there's gods. He's not paying attention like there's gods. He's not saying, like, someone's looking out for me all the time like there's gods. He just wants to stay away from the whole thing. I think that that's a form of atheism.
He's also got a follow-up question.
Okay. I'd say that I think he probably is an atheist.
Yeah.
But that's a belief in God thing that is atheism. Anyways, Becky, what do you got?
He says, also, can atheists get married and watch shows and movies about ghost huntings, like Paranormal Activity and stuff?
Can they get married? Yes, and frequently do.
And they frequently don't. I've been with my partner now for 9 years. We're not getting married because we think that it's a religious thing, mostly. But, you know, I know a lot of other atheists who do get married.
So, yeah, I guess it depends on ask the atheist. you're going to get a different answer. The interesting thing with atheists is that we are a really diverse group of people. We don't have a book that we pull all of our rules from. We sort of have to develop our own moral code as we go through life and find something that minimizes harm to other people and maximizes the good and just tries to coexist with other people peacefully.
And I think that the cast and crew and fans of Ask an Atheist have definitely had their share of watching ghost hauntings and Paranormal Activity. Most of us don't really buy it.
You know, I think that it's actually it's better to watch those kind of shows whenever you're an atheist, because then everybody on the show is a kook.
It's a lot of fun, I have to admit. And not just shows like that, but Paranormal Activity, we have a show that it's fiction. I enjoy this. I'm somebody who've never made any secret of the fact that I love science fiction, fantasy, superheroes, comic books, all this stuff. So I read a lot of fiction where characters have superpowers, where ghosts exist, where magic exists.
Harry Potter's great, you know?
I love Harry Potter, but like Becky said, I don't buy into it. I don't think it's actually true, and I think that's the dividing line, that I can enjoy this fiction, that I can suspend my disbelief while reading this fiction, while watching this fiction, while listening to this fiction. But I can enjoy it on an emotional level. I can watch a movie like, say, Pixar's Up.
Yeah.
Where it's a movie that made me cry within the first 4 minutes of the movie. I love that movie to death. Yet I'm having an emotional response to, not only are these people not real, but they're also drawings on a screen. These people are not real.
Right.
Yet I can
they don't
still,
actually exist.
But I can tell my brain to sort of, you know, put that sort of aside, that I can put myself invested emotionally in this story, yet at the end of the day, I don't think any of them are real, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And also, you know, there's nothing that we can say here that is speaking for all atheists. If you want to call yourself an atheist, that's cool. If you don't, then that's cool too, because there's no handbook.
But yeah, that's really it. That's the bottom line. There is no handbook.
I like our next email about fictional questions and fictional characters and stuff like that. It comes from George from Baker City, Oregon. Do you want to read it, Kyle?
Sure. Talking with a theist, says George, I was trying to point out the God of the Bible's atrocities. They made the argument that I was being angry at God, and I tried to explain that I can't be angry at what I don't believe in. They thought I was angry at their God because they called their God a monster, and I tried to explain how it's possible to also see Darth Vader as a monster. Presumably, George also doesn't believe in Darth Vader. But how would you explain that you're not pointing out issues you have with a mythological creature, or that you are pointing out issues that you have with a mythological creature, and that you're not angry with this mythological creature?
I could say, George, that I actually once wrote a college paper about why I disliked Hamlet. And I spent a lot of time in this paper arguing about
Hamlet, how the person, not the play.
Actually, the play, the character, in the play of the self-titled play, right, Hamlet,
the character. Okay, gotcha.
The Prince of Denmark. How I said he was whiny and he wasted time and he got a lot of people killed needlessly. And I got really angry at this character in the course of both reading the play and writing the paper. Yet it wasn't that I was angry at a real person. It was part of that suspension of disbelief that I allow myself to get into a story.
That's what makes literature good. You got to be able to suspend your disbelief and get into the story. Otherwise, you're just reading about stuff that you don't believe.
But you're still in a box, and you can still enjoy Absolutely. It, and you can still be emotional about it. So, George, I would say... you're pretty much already doing it. Just point out different fictional characters. And you know what really works for me is find a piece of fiction that they really like.
Right.
Something where you've seen them argue about or get angry about when they watch a horror movie and say, you idiot, don't go in that room. The killer's in there. Can you really be this stupid? And just say, well, you were getting angry at a fictional person. Do you believe that that character was real? Do you need to think that they're real to get angry at them? No, you don't.
You
so
don't.
I think you're already doing it. I'd say try to meet them where they're at. Try to find a piece of fiction that they like and try to get your foot in the door that way with that argument. But don't expect that you're going to change their mind after the fact. So I think that may be all the time we have this week for Ask an Atheist.
I think so. We do want to give our best wishes to Sam
yep.
as he is he's indisposed, and we hope that he's feeling better soon. We want to give our happy birthday to Mike.
Happy birthday.
And
yes, thank you.
Thanks to our callers, our donors, our advertisers.
So this is Ask an Atheist. My name is Mike Gillis. Joining me this week, Rebecca Friedman and Kyle Hepworth. Our music is by Chris Coleman. Production assistance this week is John Spinoza. We're not going to have a post show this week. Ask an Atheist is an NEDM media production. You can drop us an OIF voicemail at 206-420-0997 or catch us online at askanatheist.tv. See you guys next week.